Certainly a pleasure for me to be here this morning, and I thank you for this opportunity. And I ask a continued interest in your prayers, as my good friend, Brother Virgil, has prayed audibly. I trust that you would pray silently for me as we go forward in this service. Before we go further, is there any that we need to remember in public prayer this morning? Well, I want you to remember my in-laws. They're going downhill very fast, and I know some of you have been through things like that, but I just ask that you remember them in your prayers and other situations like that. So I did want to make mention of that. Are there others? Thank you. I ask you to remember that on behalf of my family. We appreciate it very much. Brother Virgil mentioned the songs that were selected, and while you were singing, you sang one that not many people know very much about, and that's number 129 in this book, and it's in this book it's Hail Sovereign Love, and you'll see down under the title of the song, you'll see Duane Street LMD. That's long meter double. And the reason I mention this is because during the Revolutionary War, there was a man called John Andre. And I may have mentioned this here before, I don't know. But there was a man named John Andre who was a French Huguenot. Now, if you look up the definition of what a Huguenot was and what they believed, you will find exactly what we have today. Those same articles of faith is what the French Huguenots believed. John Andre was a great military officer, and yet he was a young man. 22 years old when he died, and he died at the hanging tree on the plains of New York at West Point. John Andre was conspiring with Aaron Burr, an American officer, and he a British spy, to take over West Point, the fort then at West Point during the Revolutionary War. He was captured. Aaron Burr died, of course. But he was kept in prison and tried for the crime that he committed. Alexander Hamilton, who was the first Secretary of the Treasury, tried to intercede with General Washington to commute that sentence and not send him to the gallows. But the 22-year-old man named John Andre, General Washington, would not recant on the verdict. And as a young man, 22 years old, in October of 1775, I believe I'm correct in saying that, he was hanged on the plains of New York and buried under that place where he was hanged. And going through his personal effects, General Washington said he was loved by his countrymen and adored by his enemies. He was that kind of a man. But going through his personal effects, they found the words of this song written in his clothing. You can look this up on Google. You don't have to take my word for it. You can Google it and find it out. Hail sovereign love that first began, the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high, despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Now I'll read the fourth verse, just to call your attention to it. Should storms of thundering vengeance roll and shake the earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place. What an experience that man left. Even though he was an enemy, General Washington had the greatest respect for him. Aaron Burr was a traitor. This man was following the orders of his superiors. And for that reason, General Washington commended John Andre on that day. And part of the treaty of 1812, when the war ended, was that the remains of John Andre be removed from the plains of New York and placed in Westminster Abbey in London, and that's where they are today. If any of you ever have opportunity to visit that part of the world, his remains are there, and this song in this book is attributed to another man. But if you will go to the Library of Congress, you will find there's some doubt about that, and probably John Andre is the very man that wrote that song. So I'll give you that this morning and hope that you'll look further into that as I go further this morning. Thank you for letting me come today. I love you all, and as I feel like one of you, and I thank you for letting me be here and being a part of you. I want to read to you this morning from Isaiah chapter 1, and beginning with verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If you go back and begin to read the first verses of the book of Isaiah, you will find that the nation of Israel had among it those men that had led them in the wrong direction. You know, men get a following, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't care who they are or what philosophy they may have, men get a following. You can see that in World War II. You can see that in our present day history. You can see the effects of it that we live in today. But this hadn't just started just now, but it has been a part of the history of the world, and sad to say, on many occasions, the history of God's people in following those things that led them in the wrong direction. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. So we need to remember that today and every day, because that's good advice to God's people in every age. But here, the spiritual worship of God's people had almost disappeared. And notice the terminology that The Lord uses through the man Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. So here was the introductory message of the prophet that called their attention to the state that they were in. And the first 17 verses of this particular book give us that picture of where once the true worshipers of God stood and where they are now. But then Isaiah comes on the scene and says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And here is the obedience that God says is required. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I want you to understand today that there are blessings in obedience for the child of God. There are blessings in that. But I also want you to understand that what God has determined, whether we be obedient or not, it shall be. Amen. It shall be. Whether we be obedient or not, that which God has determined, predetermined, predestinated, and in his wisdom installed into his plan shall come to pass whether we be obedient or not. Yet, on the other hand, to the child of God, there is an obedience that the child of God is commanded to perform. Now, I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice here as he relates back to this time in their history. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, here's a baptism that there isn't any water in. Every time you see baptism in the water, in the Bible, don't take the position that it's always water, because it's not. Here is an example of it right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, for by one spirit we're baptized into one body. So there is another example of baptism where there is no water. I give that to you because there's an example here of Paul saying, I don't want you to not understand that all our fathers, and when he says all our fathers, in today's Father's Day, congratulations to all you fathers. And I thought about my dad when I woke up this morning. He was a great man in his own right. He was a hard worker, brought up during the days of the Great Depression. And what little I have and much of what I know, my dad was responsible for a lot of that, to get me started in the right direction. And I'm glad that he didn't live to understand all the mistakes I made. He thought that I didn't make many, but I'm glad that he didn't know everything I'd done. And I'll die perfectly happy not knowing what mine has done down through the years. I'll just leave that with you. But here, God says through the Apostle Paul, I don't want you to be ignorant how that all of our fathers under the cloud and all passed through the sea. The fathers he's talking about are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when you go back and you look. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud, in the sea, and did all eat that, listen now, same spiritual meat. You understand what he's saying there? They not talking about something that natural here, but eating that same spiritual meat, all right? And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I can take the Bible here and prove to you that that rock that followed them in the wilderness, that rock that was riven and water came from that rock was Christ. Yes. That rock was Christ. It says so right here. But with many of them, listen to this, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Go back and look in Numbers 21 when God sent fiery serpents among the people. When the earth opened up and swallowed up over 20,000 at one time. That new thing that men had never seen. God says, I'll cause a new thing for you to see. What was it? The earthquake. The first earthquake that men had ever heard of or ever seen, witnessed, or embraced in their mind. God said, it's a new thing. And the earth opened up and swallowed up multitudes because of their rebellion against God. But now listen, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now listen, this is very important. Now these things were our examples. You hear that? These things were our examples to the intent. This is the reason God says they're examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Let us neither tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither let ye murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these happened to them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. I hope you see that today in a practical sense, that they were our examples and they were written for our admonition or for our learning. Brother, I want to tell you today, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are the examples we have of men that have come along and tried to lead God's people off, and many have been successful at it. Yeah. If you doubt that, you read with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Two men by the name of Hymenaeus and Philetus came,
yeah,
and preached that the resurrection was past already.
That's right.
What happened? They overthrew the faith of some. They overthrew the faith of some. They believed it. They got a following. But he said this. Notice what it is. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
Didn't change a thing, did it? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Amen.
Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. What a wonderful thought. Injected right in the middle of this.
Right.
Nevertheless, the foundation, Hymenaeus and Philetus preached the resurrection, had passed already. But oh, what a wonderful truth came out to us when Paul told Timothy, nevertheless. It didn't change a thing what these two heretics said.
Right.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God, the underlying factor of all the work of God, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
That's
It is not shaken. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, I want you to go back with me and remember that. I want you to put up a stake right there, because I'm going to come back to it in just a minute. But I want you to come now with me to the book of Amos. Amos was what is called a minor prophet in the Old Testament. It's a very small book. But he came to the nation of Israel almost at the same time that Isaiah did. And I want you to notice here that God inspired Amos to write in chapter 2 and verse 4, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, brother, I want to tell you, those are four important words. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. Don't forget that. Thus saith the Lord. For three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Number one, what does he say? Number one, they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. And their lies cause them to err, after which their fathers have walked. There's two of them. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Why? Because they have sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Those are indictments against God's people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to turn over here in chapter 3 and verse 2 and notice here what God says to this same people. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you. That's chapter 3 and verse 1. Not which he's spoken for you. He's spoken against you. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, listen, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Get that. You only, what that mean? He didn't know about everybody else? Well, no. What he's saying was, you only have I recognized.
Right.
I've chosen you as a peculiar treasure unto me. I have borne you up on eagle's wings, and you have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his stall, and the ass his master's crib, but my people doth not consider. But he calls on these people and says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. I've put my sanctuary among you. God gave Israel law. He never gave a law to the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, or any otherite except the Israelite. That's the advantage that they have. Then he says this, I will punish you all for your iniquity.
Yeah.
Brother, I want to tell you something today. Sin has consequences to it. Disobedience has consequences to it. Don't you forget that. Now, God's people, I'm telling you, this is who he's talking to you. He's not talking to children of the devil.
No.
He's talking to God's people here. And as he talks to God's people, he says this. He said, I will punish you for all your iniquities. What does the Bible teach us in the New Testament about that? He says this. He says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah.
It's just as true where you sow, there shall you also reap.
Right.
Just as true. One just as true as the other is. Now, so many people have the idea today that if we're sowing bad seed down here, hell's going to be the consequence. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about at all. No, that's not it. But what he is saying here, that here in time, as we walk, God demands obedience from his commands to his people, and yet God's will shall be done in spite of the obedience or disobedience of the people of God. You know where the issue is? It's the issues in you. God blesses you in your obedience. God blesses you. God doesn't have to be blessed. He is the blesser of all blessings. He has the authority to do that. And yet, you understand this, God has the authority to withhold a blessing and still be sovereign. Still be righteous. And I'm going to prove that to you right here in the next 12 minutes. Listen to what he said. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Then verse 3, right in the middle of this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's the question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now it's not that you and me might have some kind of minor disagreement. I doubt we'd have much on anything. But we might have a disagreement. But here he's talking about spiritual meat. Yes. Spiritual drink. He just told us that in the New Testament. He raised the curtain on that. And today you and I that are met together here, we walk together, we're the family of God, because we are agreed on the things of God that fundamentally separate us from every other people in the world.
Amen.
And thank God for that.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We are fundamentally agreed.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of churches between here and my house. I can stop that. There's a bunch of in that hour and 15 minutes it takes me to drive to my house. But brother, it wouldn't have done me a bit of good to stop. You know why? We're not agreed on nothing.
Right.
We're not agreed. We couldn't walk together.
No.
Well, I wouldn't last 5 minutes there. Here I can come preach because we're agreed. Here I can come and preach because we are fundamentally agreed on what God is, his character, and what his church is. But I want to tell you today, my friend, you better be careful because the simple reason is that there are many that even bear the name Primitive Baptist that we are not agreed with.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Amen.
We're not agreed with, and we cannot travel in the same order and same direction. That's nothing new. It's happened right here. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now God says here, and you notice what he says to them. He said, you've continued in this way. Listen, I want to tell you, lest I forget it, there is a too late doctrine taught in the Bible. Now it doesn't get too late for the Lord to operate. The Lord operated on a thief on the cross before he died. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Amen?
Amen.
He's always on time. He dealt with a thief on the cross. He dealt in the right time and the right way with the Apostle Paul. He dealt in the right way and the right way with the Apostle Peter and with every one of them in some kind of a degree. There's not a too late doctrine in God's promises, in God's intent. But I want to tell you, it gets too late for me and you sometimes. It gets too late. It really does. God oftentimes, when you read the first and second book of Romans, God is long-suffering. Thank God he is. God is long-suffering to a backslidden people on many occasions. But I want to tell you something today, my friends, that there comes a time, you know what God said I'm going to do? I'm going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. He did that. Turned them over. To their own thinking. He turned them over to a reprobate mind. That didn't change one thing in God's predeterminate counsel.
No.
But what it did do was show God's authority to turn them over to a reprobate mind.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. We have examples of it. Listen to what he says here. And I think we can apply this today to us. Sure. And to you young people that are here today. And I want to tell you, to the church in general. I was in Texas the other day preaching. I make two trips to Texas and to Fort Worth and to rural Texas, on in West Texas. I preached along this line because it had been on my mind. The brethren said, stay with us another week and preach that same sermon every night, because our people have begun to drift.
Right.
I'm sad to say that.
Amen.
I'm sad to say that. You all know Elder Messiah Bradley passed away the other day. Brother Bradley, and I thank God for him in many ways. But I want to tell you right now, brethren, when a man gets a following, when a man gets a following and is set on a pedestal and thinks that he can do no wrong, you've took the glory from God and give it to a man. God's not going to put up with that.
No.
He's free with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. But let me tell you what, and I'm going to, you know, Paul said, them that sin rebuke before all. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Elder Jeremy Bass, who is now the pastor there, if you don't believe this, you can look it up. And I'm telling this as my beloved sons, I'll warn you. He said, primitive Baptists have departed from the faith. And it broke my heart. Primitive Baptists have departed from the faith. I want to tell you something, my friend, for the last 58 years. I haven't changed. There's plenty of changes that I need to make, but for the last 58 years, I haven't changed. What 26 preachers sit there and admonish me to believe and stand for, I haven't changed one thing about it. Not one. Not one. I've not departed from the faith.
No.
But those folks did.
Yes.
I'm sorry about it. I'm like when, you know, Elijah came to Israel. You know what Ahab came up to him and said, Brother Virgil? Ahab came to Elijah, God's man.
Yeah.
And he said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Can you believe that? Ahab said that to God's man. And Ahab had led Israel in every kind of direction you can think. And that man asked God's man, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah told him, said, it's not I that troubleth Israel, but it's you and your house that troubleth Israel. And I'll tell you today, my friend, there are those among us that would say that we have departed from the faith. Thank God today for people like you that are here today, and Brother Virgil and others that we know and understand. And I'll tell you, plain talk has to be understood sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bear the cross. And I've said this, if God help us, if some don't do it, I will. And I tell you today, my friend, that God says to them, he said, I'll send a famine in the land.
Yeah.
Get this. I'll send a famine. Now remember, this is our example. God said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. You know what a famine is. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to drink.
Right.
People are in misery. Social conditions are going awry. Listen to this now. This is what he said about God's people, Brian. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord.
Oh, goodness.
Listen to that. That's the fact. We're in that today. Now, God meant it then, but I'm going to tell you, you can apply it today.
That's true.
There's a lot of religion in this world, but I want to tell you, there's only one truth. Only one. But a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Listen to that. What a condemnation to God's own people. Thank God today that we don't go to heaven on account of what we do. Amen. Thank God today that God doesn't charge us in eternity for what our minds and our thoughts drift us into. Thank God today that men may raise up. They did that in the day of Christ. Jesus said, many shall come in my name, Brother Virgil, and say, I'm Christ, and lo, believe him not.
Yeah.
I affirm to you today, there are those today that would follow Buddha. There are those today that would follow Mohammed. There are those today that would follow other idealistic men who said they come from God. But I want to tell you, there's only one man that ever came from God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
And we are commanded to take up our cross and follow him, to forsake father, mother, sisters, and brothers, and take up our cross and follow him in obedience. There's a blessing for that.
Amen.
And I'm not discouraging, but I want to tell you, if you never do, that's not going to change your eternal destiny.
Amen.
That's not going to change your destiny, but I'll tell you what it will do. It's just like putting shock absorbers on an automobile. It'll make this life a lot easier to ride.
Yeah.
It'll make this life a lot easier to pass through. And let me tell you, there's some rough spots about it. You and I know that today. I don't care what your experience is. You've had some rough ways to go. There's some rough roads to travel. And we're going to have that as long as we live. But you know what this place is called right here? A city of refuge. A city of refuge. Now, I'll tell you, we have a city of refuge. It's called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it's called the church. Why? Because you can't be agreed. You can't know the truth and be agreed with something else. You can't travel. As I say, I couldn't stay where I could have stopped along the way this morning. Probably past 25 churches. But it wouldn't have done me any good to win. Do you know why? Because I can tell you right now, they'd get up and say, if you'll do your part, God will do his. I got a better story for you than that. I got a better story for you than that. God's already done what he intended to do. And it was a complete and total success. And you know what? I've not departed from that. But we have had some that departed from that.
Amen.
And thank God that the truth, and that's what the Bible tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. That's Bible. The Proverbs, buy the truth and sell it not. Pilate asked Jesus one time, what is truth? Remember that?
Yeah.
What is truth? What is truth? I'll tell you what truth is. God is truth.
Amen.
From back to front, God is truth. That ought to be our standard. Our oracle of faith, and they're right out there on that, said we believe that this Bible, this canon of scripture, these 66 books called the Old and New Testament are our divine rule. They're our rule of faith and practice. They are divinely inspired, and therein is the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
I'll tell you today that I'm going to say this, I might as well. These people that are not satisfied with us, I wish they'd go on and leave us alone.
Yeah.
Just leave us alone. We're satisfied where we're at. You know what Jeremiah said one time, and the prophets came to him and said, Jeremiah, show the house to the house.
Yeah.
Show the house to the house. Oh, they were the house of God, all right. There's a temple there. That crying preacher said, I'm going to show you another house.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you another house. It's called Zion. It's the highest place that you can see. Well, I'll tell you, we still got Zion today. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, so says David. Zion shall be a quiet habitation. You see, that's what Zion is. That's what the church is. It ought to be a quiet habitation. Why? Because we agree. We agree. We have fellowship. in what we're agreed on. And how wonderful that is for us today.
Amen.
To come and sit down under the sound and influence of the gospel that cheers us in times of declension, that cheers us in those things that would draw us away. You know, I understand how easy it is for little minds. I understand how easy it is for older minds. I understand that. To be drawn away. You know, there were two men in the Bible, Brother Virgil, you can remember it and the rest of you. But there were two men there. And you know what the Bible said? They seemed to be pillars.
Yeah.
Pillars. Not P-I-L-L-O-W-S. Not pillows, but pillars, like under a house.
Yeah.
Pillars that is built on. Like the pillars of the temple. They seem to be pillars. God bless you for being pillars
right in
the kingdom of God. God bless you for walking together in fundamental agreement. God bless us today to be communing together in order that we might set forth the kingdom of God. If anybody asks us what is truth, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within thee. Not just in any way, but with meekness and in fear. Not in pride and in those things that would lift up men or the programs that would attract. No. But in meekness and in fear. I warn you. Let me tell you something today. Primitive Baptists have not departed from the faith. Primitive Baptists have not departed from the faith. Men may have departed from the faith. But I want to tell you, these men that have said we need some new furniture over in the house, we can't walk together with them. We're not agreed.
No.
These men that said we need some new furniture in the house, show the house to the house. I want to tell you, the house that I'm showing to you today doesn't need to be furnished. Why? Because it's already furnished.
Amen.
With the things that God has said.
That's true.
And what a wonderful blessing it is to come to the house of God as a refuge. And here there's not a famine. Here we hear the work of the Lord. We're looking forward to that, aren't we? In a meeting coming up, in meetings elsewhere. You know, we're looking forward to hearing the manna drop from heaven. We're looking forward to a time when we can reach up and take hold of the bread of life and taste the heavenly gift that God has given us in the wonderful word of God when it comes down under the sound and influence of the preaching of the gospel. Jesus Christ came on the scene and he was there and he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 and the 3,000. You know what they said? Many of them followed him. You know the reason they followed him? Because they ate of the loaves of the fishes. That's what he said. That you followed me because you ate of the loaves and the fishes. That's the only reason you're here.
Yeah.
Only reason you're here. But Jesus said this. Those were natural. You know what you're looking at? He said, I'm the bread of life.
Yeah.
I'm the bread of life that came down from the Father. I am he that you can partake of. And isn't it wonderful when we partake of the bread of life? We do that in a spiritual way. They were baptized in a spiritual way. They ate that spiritual meat. They drank that spiritual drink. Primitive Baptists have not departed from the faith. We hold the same faith that we did, that the apostles held. We've all got some things probably that we call controverted points, and there always have been. But I'll tell you this, we have a fundamental doctrine and practice that you can't improve on. We've got a fundamental doctrine and practice that Jesus set up in his apostles. Somebody said there's no perfect church. No, but I want to tell you right now, there is not. But I'll tell you, there's a perfect order to the church. And you know what was in the church? Preaching, praying, singing, Sunday school, ladies' circles, everything else. I'll tell you what it was. It was preaching, it was praying, it was singing, and it was offering ourselves a living sacrifice
Amen.
Before God on the Lord's day. That's our fundamentals. That's the reason we can walk together. Now, I'm not mad at you. I'm loving you. All right, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to know, you know, a lot of times we get isolated. We don't know what's going on. I'm telling you today that God's people need to be instructed. I wish I could stay in Texas. And you know, if I could have, I'd preach that same thing again. You know, I've tried to preach the same thing again. You know, it never did work for me too well. You know, I went off in another direction. Just never did work too well for me. But I want to tell you something today, my friend. What you believe today, what I believe today, what we preach today, what we practice today, and what we contend for is that faith that was once and for all time delivered. Just let me tell you, this is a closed book. You hear me? There's no new revelation. Somebody comes up and says, well, I got a new revelation. You better put a red flag on him, brother.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You better put a red flag on him or her. There is no new revelation. This book is a closed book. And I affirm to you today, it is the thing that was once and for all time delivered to the saints. And may God bless you to walk in that faith and be blessed as we partake of the good of the land. I've enjoyed trying to preach this morning. Thank you for letting me come. I come over here and get things off my chest. Amen. I can do that. I sure can. And no, I'll be all right. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, it's true. That's common sense. Won't permit another answer. No, we have to be agreed. And thank God we are. And thank God we'll continue to be. If God blesses us to continue in this good way. If you're here today and you love these things that we love, then you come. We'll put your case before the church. While we sing, what you know?